Hello and welcome to another episode of the Construction Corner Podcast. I'm Dylan. I'm your host. Today I am joined by my blue collar badass. But first, guys, before we get into it and what we're going to talk about today in onboarding and training and making the experience of any of your new hires a fantastic experience, we want to remind you why we come on and do this show. I personally have designed over $750 million worth of commercial construction projects, right? That's the construction value of that and the electrical design for those buildings. And through that, I learned a ton. I've led teams of electrical designers, MEP teams, done anything from schools, hospitals, offices, apartments, industrial, you kind of name it, I've designed it. And with that, learned a ton of lessons. Matt's done hundred plus million dollars worth of commercial projects as a contractor, and he's learned a ton of lessons along the way too. So when you do that much work, that much volume over decades, you pick up a thing or two, which is what we're trying to impart here on this show for you guys to learn from our mistakes, our lessons learned, so that you don't have to get so scarred by them. You can just pick up the lessons and carry on. So without further ado, let's dive into today's topic of onboarding and training new hires to make that first day a fantastic experience. So with that, Matt, first, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, Dylan. And that was a very polite way of saying that you and I have shit the bed a whole lot throughout our careers and done a lot of dumb stuff and made a lot of mistakes that we are able and willing and happy to share with the audience. So in hopes that they don't F it all up quite as badly, or maybe if they're going to do that, they just do it more quickly than we did and move on to the next thing to screw up on. Cause that's the reality, right? That's the reality of being in this industry is you take your cuts and bruises, no matter what. There's mistakes to be made. I always tell my people here, like, let's fail fast and learn from it, right? Don't do it again. So if we can help you learn from what we've failed at and move to the next level faster, then, you know, that's a win in my book.
Yeah. And one thing I'd add on to that, now you see this a lot in construction because everybody's trying to cover their ass, but take responsibility for it in a way that you're going to limit also your ability to get sued for it. But like, take responsibility of those things. Typically what that means is, hey, yeah, I know that didn't work the way that it was supposed to. Here's a solution. That's usually how that works to limit your, and again, not a lawyer, this is not legal advice, but that's a way to limit your kind of downside risk of it and present a solution that, you know, everybody can then move forward with. Typically those go over much better than just the good old finger pointing game that so many people like to play. Just present solutions, give people the opportunity to move forward. And that usually helps a ton. And usually lawyers don't get involved when you do that, right? Things just move forward on the whole.
Which is always a good day, right? I really like my attorney. I've got a couple attorneys, but the business side attorney, I really like her. She's great. She helps me out constantly. But we don't have a whole lot of conversations when there's not something going wrong, right? Or at least that has the potential to go wrong. So anything you can do to keep them out of the picture on a professional level, we'll put that way. That's a good thing to do.
Yes. Yes. So with that, let's step into another landmine for attorneys across the country. And that's people, right? Hiring, onboarding, training, and eventually we'll do an episode on firing employees. That's really where the attorneys tend to get involved. But let's talk about the good side of it and bringing on a person who is excited to come to work for you. And what should an ideal day one look like?
So I can speak to this because I have screwed this up so many times in the past. As a still pretty small, but a growing company, right? I mean, Dylan, you've been around for almost all of my journey here. We've grown rapidly, right? In the 7 years I've been doing this at Schaefer Construction, we've grown a ton. And with that comes a lot of heartache, a lot of, you know, bumped toes and things that we just missed. And, you know, there were times when we brought people on And their onboarding consisted of, "Hey, I'm glad you're here. Here's your cell phone. Go get the fuck to work." And that only works with very certain individuals and a certain mentality. Most people are kind of sitting there like, "What the hell just happened?" And so luckily, we've kind of gotten past that, and we continue to get better every time we bring someone else on. But let's to your question, to your point, like the best day one, I think, is really to be, for me as an employer and my team here as this person, this individual's new team, for us all to be like 1,000% ready. Everything has to be ready. And it's all the small stuff that makes a big difference. It's having, business cards with the person's name on them. It's having their laptop, not just here, but actually set up with all the software they need, all the apps they need, sitting on a docking station with monitors already hooked up. It's having all their pre-crap either done or ready to go real quick. So their drug testing, background checks, direct deposit stuff, payroll, for all the boring admin side. We try to get all that done ahead of time, but if you can't, at least have it, a packet laid out that somebody can walk this person through quickly and efficiently, so they're not letting this drag on and on and on. And outside of that, I mean, we like to do formal announcements, to the team, like planned, structured announcements, and then, all the foo-foo stuff, right? Like give them a tour of the office, introduce them to everybody, help them assimilate into your team as quickly as possible. And I think by truly planning out, we actually do like a 3 to 5 day plan. But even if it's just a 1 day thing, by truly planning it out and having things structured and go on that schedule, you show someone like, okay, not only are you're starting a new job, like that's stressful. It's a stressful time no matter who you are. But if you show them that, like, okay, we've taken the time out of our schedule, out of my schedule to build this program, if you will, and the follow through with it, that's the other key. It helps them to feel more welcomed, right? It helps them to feel like, okay, I made the right decision. I'm not floundering here on day one wondering what I just did. There's going to be some of that. That's human nature. But if you can have it structured like that, I think it just does it. It goes a long way for making them feel welcome. And that's really the goal, right? Is to welcome to the team. Like you're here because we want you here. You're here because you're a good fit, not just, all right, you're another number, go take a seat and we'll call you when we need you.
Yeah, the best places that I've walked into have that, right? Like my, because I worked in cubes, but like your cubicle's all set up, your computer's ready to go, right? Whatever you're gonna use, desktop, laptop, whatever it is, it's all ready to go. Everything's set up there. Like for me, it ended up being too, like, hey, code reference books are here, right? Here's where the resources are. Here's where our library of stuff is. Like all that's there. Yeah, tour of the office, right? You have somebody go and lead you around, introduce you to everybody in the office, quick little intros, which takes, like, depending on your office size, right, anywhere from 30 minutes to a couple hours to go through it and do it and walk around and see everybody. And with that, it's really like a tour of the office and introductions kind of all wrapped into one. Your passwords on how to get into the computer, walkthroughs of that. And then I do really like trying to get all of that paperwork stuff done prior to showing up on day one, because I had a firm that I went to work for and they had some like weird non-compete, which is doesn't exist anymore because of the whole like non-competes basically got blasted away here with some law stuff. But anyway, they had like a weird non-compete deal, contract that they sprung on me on day one. I'm like, there's no way that I'm signing this, or if I am, here's my amendments to it. And then it, like, I never signed it, they never did anything, and I wasn't going to bring it up again. So stuff like that to get sprung on you on day one is like really weird for me to do. It's like, You said nothing about any of this in my interviews, and then here you are springing like weird contractual shit on me day one. Like, no.
It's like a bait and switch, right? And if the way I look at it now, if you wouldn't do it to a prospective client, like if you wouldn't say, "Hey, client, we're going to do this project for $1 million," and then you sign a contract, and then on the next day you come back and say, "Oh, by the way, we're going to do it for $2 million now, and it's going to take 6 months longer than I told you because of all these stipulations." Like you would never do that, but that's exactly what you just said. Right. Like, and especially you're a young guy now. So, whenever this job was, you were even younger. Like, as a young dude, young person, like most younger people, while they may be overly cocky, and think they're worth more than they are, they get nervous in those situations. They don't have the life experience. So, frankly, for you to be able to read that and say, "Hold on a second, this doesn't make sense to me. This isn't good." Like, that's probably the anomaly, not the normal. I would bet most people, most kids would just say, "Okay, yeah, it's my first job or second job, whatever." Like day one, they're telling me to sign it, just sign it. And now look at what you just done. You know,
Oh,
it could be
yeah.
disastrous.
Well, so I came into that because I'd already somewhat started Cowabunga Studios, like going into this. Like I had very, very early like beta product. So I had something to protect, right? Like if I didn't go in there having something to protect, like, yeah, I probably would have just signed it. But because I'd already started something and knew that I was going to go down this path of software at some point, like, hey, but this is also really weird that on day one, like, hey, you need to sign this, agreement. And it's like, fuck no, like not a chance, right? And then when I didn't sign it, like the HR person didn't know how to handle it because they were just told that people needed to sign this, not why or what we're doing or anything else behind it. So it became really like weird up front, through this whole hiring process and whatnot. So it's some of those things of like, don't spring shit on people on day one of like, or if you are, it's just like, I'm in talks with a bunch of companies on some engineering work and they're like, hey, we have a lot of like NDAs with all of our clients. I'm like, hey man, no problem. Like, look, do we need to just sign a mutual NDA between like our two companies so that then going forward, like we're both covered for any project, we can talk about it, and then we're not also having to execute NDAs on every single project successively. Like we're just completely covered on a go forward, but we're going into that, relationship and conversation of, hey man, like send me whatever you need to sign. Like I'll read it and let you know if I have any things or not. I mean, most NDAs are pretty straightforward and mutually binding. So it's usually not like I've never seen anything too egregious in an NDA. Those are all pretty straightforward. Like, don't talk about shit. Cool. Got it. Thanks. But a lot of this is, I mean, to the point, and we were just talking this before, and we brought it up a ton here on the show, is like people do not read their contracts. So then to stick something in front of people like, hey, sign this if you want to work here. It's like, wait a minute, I already like accepted my offer and I'm coming in with this and this. What are we doing here? Right. So the more that you can handle all that preemptive paperwork during the after you've extended an offer letter, right? They've signed and accepted the offer letter. Then you do all the insurance shit. You do the bank stuff. You do their W-9s, like all that paperwork. If you have stuff that you need them to sign, right? And you're probably doing background checks during the interview process because you're not going to hopefully extend an offer to somebody you haven't looked into on that piece, right? Like, oh, by the way, or hey, we're also going to make you piss in a cup. Like, day one, you're like, well, shit, man. Like, that's not going to work today. Can you give me 30 days?
Right.
Like, there's a lot of that stuff too. Like, oh, I didn't know that I needed to, I wouldn't apply to here, right? Like, whatever that amounts to. So, just being upfront with people and what you're going to require for paperwork, background, conditions of employment. Right, like perks, benefits, like, hey, you've got to be clean because we're giving you a company vehicle to drive around in and shit. Like you're going to be on company insurance. You're not going to pay for gas, or here's how like gas works. There's a lot of these like little details that I think people leave out quite often. Like, if you're going to get a company vehicle, like, does this mean that I now have to, like, what does that entail from a company vehicle? And you don't want to get bogged down in like interviews and all that stuff, but somebody should go over all those pieces, most likely prior to hiring that person on. Because while it's very detailed and boring, like, people do need to know that stuff. And more often than not, those little detail things, like a company vehicle, a cell phone, a whatever, are the things that people get hung up more on than anything else in the entire process.
Yes, you just touched on a funny one for me. So, yeah, I've got a story about employee handbooks, but I'll come back to that. So remind me. But the things that people get hung up on has never ceased to amaze me, right? So in the a good one is in the construction world, especially on the contractor side, a car allowance, an auto allowance, truck allowance, whatever you want to call it, is a regular thing. Right, we're going to give you X dollars a month, and that goes to cover the cost of you using your own vehicle. A lot of firms at my size, anyways, and even bigger firms don't do fleet vehicles anymore because there's a lot of downside to that too, a lot of different risk. But so there's just this theory of the car allowance has to it, now it's almost like a mandatory thing. Well, 90% of the firms around here, anyways, don't do it correctly. So the employees actually are paying tax on their car allowance, which then means it's not a car allowance, it's not a anything, it's just wages. But in the heads of most of these people that have been conditioned to this, they think it's like free money, right? Like, oh, they're gonna, pay me $100,000 and they're gonna give me a, whatever, $500 a month car allowance. So they think that $500 a month is just like a $500 bills that just get placed on their lap every month. Well, it's not. If it's not being done right, and again, most don't, and I've learned this over the last 7 years of figuring this shit out, if it's just taxable allowance or whatever, it's just wages. But that or a cell phone, like any of that shit, like I've had people literally walk out and not accept a project or a position here because of that. Like, well, you don't offer me a car allowance. Said, well, no, but I just offered you $5,000 more than we talked about, or than your work, whatever. There's ways to handle it. So it's always funny to me. Like, you got to be sensitive to that stuff because nobody reads their contracts. Everybody has hearsay as their guiding light, and these weird anomalies become the norm, and it's. People just think like it's sacrilege to change or to go away from that. I won't get into the whole health insurance thing because that's a whole, it's the same idea, but it's a whole nother conundrum, right? But backing up to the handbook thing. So first off, we've changed our policies here and we do all of the paperwork. All the screening is 2 weeks at least before that the new person ever shows up here. So they've got time to actually read it. We encourage them, like, please read all of this shit. Ask questions. If you are unsure or unfamiliar, like, you have direct access to someone on my team now. It used to be to me. But then when they get here, like, we're not fumbling around doing paperwork and it's better. I worked for a firm for a very short time a while back. And when I was hired in, they didn't have any sort of company handbook whatsoever. Fast forward. I don't remember what it was, 2, 3, 4 years of working there. And they hired some young buck asshole to boost the company bring all these forms and policies and procedures in. And all here comes this handbook. Fine. Much like you with your NDA or whatever it was when you're getting hired, like I'm reading this handbook. And I'm like, this is absurd. They had non-compete clauses and things like that where basically, I could never work again, in Southeastern Michigan ever if I ever left. And so I went to him and I said, well, I don't agree with any of this. And the answer I got was, well, tough shit. This is the policy. So you need to sign it. And I said, well, fuck off. How about that? I'm not signing it. What happens then? And we sat there kind of staring at each other for a while. And I said, if you're telling me to pack my shit, I'll go get a box. And the conversation never went any farther than that. And eventually, probably not more than a year or so later, I left. And that's when I came for greener pastures. But you got to be careful with these things too, right? You have to manage the perception. So whether or not it's the stupid car allowance, which we still offer them to most people, and I hate it. It makes my skin curl because it's silly. Or if it's, a non-compete in a handbook, like you have to be very careful on how people are going to perceive this because no one will perceive it exactly as you intend ever. And a lot of people will perceive it only based on what they've heard or what they've seen in previous renditions of this, with other employers. So there's no right or wrong way to do it, I don't think, but you have to be very careful and it has to be well laid out and giving it to them early so they can ask the questions versus springing it on them, a week or two after they start is so important because the better you can make the experience. We talk about excelling the experience all the time, right? We talk about it on the client side. And I think you brought it up in one of our conversations recently on the show. It's selling the experience internally too. We have to be able to rely on that. And we have to sell such a good experience to our team, our internal team, that they don't want to go anywhere and that they talk to their friends and their colleagues and their cousins and aunts and uncles about how great it is to work at Schaefer Construction or at Cowabunga. And that's what you have to keep in mind all the time. And these little oversights can lead to really ugly, huge consequences if you're not careful with them.
Yeah, a lot of this comes down to like transparency, right? There's nothing worse than coming to work at a place, and this is as much as I want to talk about health insurance because, like, I'm a young guy, I really don't give a shit. But for most people with families and, they're on 19 medications and all this other shit, like, health insurance is a big deal to most people. And with that, like, going through it, what they cover, what they don't. Because then it drastically affects their pay on the other side of it because they have all this stuff or they go see the doctor, every 2 weeks or whatever it is for them, like, or they've got six kids or whatever the thing might be. Like, they're at a doctor all the time for this, that, or the other thing. Like, health insurance is one of those. Like, you really need to have somebody that knows the policy to go through with them. Like, once you believe that this candidate is somebody good, because a lot of people do care about it. Like, personally, I really don't. I don't use it. I don't go to the doctor. Like, it's just not a thing for me. But for a lot of people, they care about it. And then on the car stipend, so when I interviewed with Halliburton as a senior in college, because Halliburton had a car stipend, but the way that they phrased it as a person interviewing with them, because I went out to site and all that kind of stuff in Colorado, is, hey, look, we're giving you a car stipend of whatever it was so that you can have a new car. It can't be older than 4 or 5 years old, like, can't be, for reliability, so that you, whenever we call you, you are going to get to site. Like, that was how it got phrased in basically the interview process of, this is why we give it, and these are the stipulations around it, right? Go get you a car, we're giving you whatever, $1,000 a month so that you can get a new car and it be reliable in order to get you to wherever we're drilling, and for you to be there. Like, that was their stipulation around it. So there's, and it's again phrasing it in those ways and those manners of, like, here's why we're giving it to you. Here's the things around it. Here's why it matters. Here's everything about that benefit. And then, of course, like, there's your side of it and how you give it and all that kind of stuff that matters for folks. So, and it's the same thing with a phone. Like, hey, we have a company phone, or you can do a stipend. But if you do a stipend, just know we can wipe your phone at any given point because, that's our cyber policy or whatever. Right, when you install shit. So, like, that made me be like, hey, I'm not gonna then put email on my own phone. You give me a phone. Because if you're gonna do that, then no, right? Like, you're not gonna have access to my phone, so you give me one, right? And this is how a lot of those conversations end up going. Or, like, look, then don't ever expect me to answer work emails, not, after hours, because I'm not putting that shit on my phone, right? For you to have the ability to remote into it and whatever. But these are all those little details that, again, should all be handled before day one so that day one can be office tour, right? Meeting people, going to lunch, right? Have a reservation somewhere, like, and have a group to go out with them and make them feel welcome and warmed and excited. Have an outline of stuff for them to do, whether that's trainings to watch, projects to work on. Here's our standards, and somebody to walk it through with them. There's nothing worse than your boss or whoever's supposed to be kind of like in charge of you, like not there on day one or two. Like, it really sucks as a new person to be like, well, I'm here and well, we're just gonna sit here, right? Because people want to be productive, they want to learn, they want to do stuff, but if you don't give them the opportunities to do that, then it's why'd you hire them anyway?
You just murdered their perception of your firm if you can't even show up. And I can say, as someone who's had to struggle with this, like as a small company, especially a few years ago, like I'm busy as hell, man. Like I'm busier than most people would ever even be able to recognize. And there have been times when I've hired people where it's really hard. Like, shit, I'm supposed to go to lunch with so and so and take them on tours. I've got 2 or 3 hours booked this afternoon, and I've got all these competing priorities that are demanding my attention. You got to make a choice, man. You got to make a choice. And if you choose to take new employee and be like, I'll get back with you tomorrow, go sit in the office and, play on the computer, like you're making the wrong choice. I can tell you that. Figure it out with somebody else to cover your workday duties, because if you murder the perception, it's very hard to get it back. And, you have to. I was doing the math in my head, making sure. But so by the time this airs, it'll be the day after we're bringing on our newest employee. We're actually doing something pretty cool this time that I've never done before. My PCS manager brought it up in a planning meeting, and this is where like this the onboarding process has started to evolve here. It's like we've been planning this for a month, so we've got shit pretty dialed in. But she's like, well, why don't we do a full team event? So we're going to do a tour of one of our active current projects with the whole damn team. We're all going to show up. We're going to cook out lunch. We're going to immediately immerse this person in our culture, in our project, introduce him to specialty contractors, introduce him to the client if he's around, show him an actual working job site. So now it's not just like pictures on the wall, which, yeah, they're cool. Like, here, hey, we built this, we did this, we do all this cool stuff. Here, now we're going to say, put on your hard hat and your vest and your boots and follow me and let me show you. So I'm pretty excited about it. So by the time this airs, it'll be done. But moving forward, I think it's a way cooler idea than, me grabbing them and saying, all right, now we're going to go to lunch, you and the president, and it's going to be stuffy and awkward and uncomfortable. And, I'm going to try and talk to you, but you don't really want to talk to the president because you don't know what to say. And like, so we're taking that out of the equation a little bit and making it more of like a looser event. And hopefully it goes well and it kind of brings everybody together. And that's the goal anyway. So maybe next week we'll follow up on it.
Yeah. Well, and having, I mean, that's a great idea, man. And also, to that point is you have somebody that's, yeah, you're the hiring manager. Yeah, you're the top of the food chain, but somebody that's, and again, hear this the way that I intend it is someone closer to their level within the org to show them around, right? That is either close to an equal or their immediate boss. Right, to show them around, to like introduce them to folks, somebody that's been there a little while so they have a good feel of what the culture is supposed to be, and introduce them to everybody and walk them around. Like, it doesn't always have to be you as the senior leader in the org. Like, it can be somebody else to walk them around and spend that 2 hours with them, and then you come back in and out at different times because yeah, you still got to get stuff done. Right, or hand them off if they still have to get paperwork done, that they spend an hour with HR or whatever to get through all that, or accounting, or here's the numbers for all of this, or they sit down with IT and go through like, here's all the programs, here's the file structure, here's how shit's organized. Like, you have these kind of handoffs to different people to walk them through each area of expertise that that person has, right? Whether it's health insurance, payroll, benefits, IT, you know, whatever it is, like get that walk through, and that'll be a huge weight lifted off of you as the leader, and it sets them up for knowing more people and success. But I think the basis of this is have a plan going into hiring somebody. Don't just ad hoc it, right? Have all the shit set up for them so that on day one, hour one, and also like you're gonna tell somebody to be there at 8, they're probably gonna be there at 7:30 because they're excited to be, you know, at the job and all that. So you better be there early on that day too, right? You better be there an hour beforehand because again, it's a new job. People are excited, they're up early. You know, you haven't seen them to where they're instead of being there at 8, they're there at 9, right? Because they got used to it and then they're staying till 6 and they're on their normal, whatever their normal schedule is, right? And maybe they later come in at 7 or 6 or whatever and leave at 3. Like, so they haven't gotten to their normal stuff yet, but they're early, they're excited, they're ready to roll. So you be there early and prepared for whenever they show up.
That's it, man. Control the experience or control the perception and create the experience. And you know, build the plan, follow the plan. It's really not rocket science, but you know, simple, not easy.
Yeah, it just seems to be harder for some folks than others to figure out. So we just outlined what we've done, what we've gone through, what's worked and not worked for us in our hiring experiences, both as a person being hired and as, you know, bringing a new team member onto our teams. Any last words, Matt?
I won't be as foolish to think or to say that this is way easier to do when you've got a team working with you than when you're just by yourself. It's way easier now that I can collaborate with my team and I don't have to be the only guy doing it. So know that. And if you are the one man band, you know, the one person show, like it gets better as time goes on. Gets easier.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right, guys, that is going to be this episode of the Construction Corner Podcast. Remember to share this with a friend or your HR director if you got anything out of it. So thank you guys for listening, and until next time.